This show is sponsored by Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus lets you binge on thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere on your TV, PC, smartphone, or tablet. Support this podcast and get an extended free trial of Hulu Plus when you go to HuluPlus.com/Joey. That's HuluPlus.com/Joey. And by DollarShaveClub.com. Get high-quality razors sent to your door every month for a fraction of what you pay at retail. Now, go to DollarShaveClub.com/church. That's DollarShaveClub.com/church. Or just go to JoeyDiaz.net and click on the Dollar Shave Club banner.
Kick that motherfucker, Lee. What? Oh, shit. Oh, shit. It's Friday, December 20th. You got 4 shoplifting days. Oh, shit. Listen to the police. Drop it. I don't play enough with the fucking police. What? What's your fucking reaction? It's Friday, you fucking douchebag. Get up. You're probably up already. I'm sorry for yelling. Oh, shit. Dropping it. Boom, 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 boom. Are you fucking kidding me, Lee?
I would never kid around with the police.
Hit it. One more time. One more course. Are you fucking kidding me what I'm dropping on you motherfuckers on a Friday? Right from this jam. Go wash your pussy and get out there. Hustle a motherfucker. When was the last time you put that mungwa on somebody's face? When was the last time you dick whipped a bitch in the afternoon? Today's your lucky day, cocksucker. Let's do this, Lee Syatt. What's happening, you bad motherfucker, you?
No, I feel great. I'm fucking happy as can be.
Sure, you sit in that casket in front of the fucking living room all day.
No.
And you watch fucking SportsCenter. Sure, you feel good.
The only days I do that are the days you give me a fucking Green Hornet, what you did today. So, yeah, when you give me
No, not today. Today I'm taking your fucking keys. I'm walking you downstairs, and I'll come back in an hour with your keys. You're leaving downstairs.
You're not coming back in an hour.
I swear to God, I gotta come back up here anyway. I gotta see a buddy. I gotta see a man about a dog. But you gotta sit that side. I want you to sit in the fucking chair.
I can't do that when I'm
get
high,
some
dude.
Sun. Sure you can. You gotta call in at 12:45, right? Yo, you gonna call in at 12:45? All right, I love you. You got the number, right? All right, stay black. Bye. Sorry about that, people. Sometimes you gotta make a move. Anyway, you gotta get out there and get some sun. Vitamin D is lacking in your future. What fun? The edibles is just an appetizer to life. The edible adds a fucking all the edible does to my day is it adds a sense of danger. Okay, I'm always in danger when I'm driving, when I'm at the house, something. Like it adds not danger. What's the word I'm looking for?
Being terrified.
It adds a different obstacle to the fucking day. All right, and I still do my shit. Sometimes I take an edible and I don't like it because I got to go work out. And when I work out and I'm breathing heavy, I start tripping. It happened Monday. It happened Wednesday night in kettlebell class because I couldn't go in the morning because I had radio. We did the podcast at 12. So I went, by 6:45, I've already eaten fucking 92 different things. Oh. You know what I'm saying? So that's what happened. So by the time I got to kettlebell class, it was my first real workout of the week. Yesterday I went to jiu-jitsu. This morning I got up. I did the radio thing, press for the junket, for the grudge match.
Oh, cool.
And then I went to kettlebell, 9:30.
Well, can we talk about this? Because I'm still trying to figure it out. I wanted to bring it up when Tony was here, but I got too fucking high. I have to figure, I know I have to work out, and that's something I have to do, but when you're working for yourself, what do you do all day?
When you work for yourself.
Yeah.
The most important thing about working for yourself is organization.
Okay.
Organization and discipline.
Okay.
So they both go hand in hand, but they really don't. It's really weird. You're like, Joey, come on, organization, discipline. So what I suggest to people is, as a comedian, you got to do 80 different times. I have to do 80,000 things a day.
Yeah.
Okay. So in the morning, usually, I get up, I do a little writing, just my day.
Okay.
I look over my day, and then I write something. I try to write a joke, something, okay? Then I tweet, then I put music, I smoke dope. Then after all that, I wash my pussy. Let's pretend I play with the baby for a while and help my wife. I go back in the room. I see what breakdowns are at, which means, what's out there for me.
Okay.
And if something's out there...
For acting.
That takes a couple fucking minutes, I take that, I send that. Boom, to the email. And then probably 9 out of 10, I got an errand to run. I go run that errand, 2 errands. I come back. This time was maybe to write a paragraph in the book. If I could write a paragraph in the book, now all that, I got to include the baby in there somewhere. I got to come home and hold her for 10 minutes. I got to play with her 15 minutes. There's always something. I go in the room, I knock that out. Then maybe I got a meeting or something like that. When you work for yourself, I send emails out. You know, I make a list of emails. So when you look at my notebook, it'll say Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Each category starts to write 1 hour a day. I got to write 1 hour a day. And then after that, it's my day. 6 a.m. podcast, 9:30 kettlebell class, you know, fucking 12 o'clock meeting, 1 o'clock. So in that, I'm always home. I like my schedule close by, so I'm always home.
Okay.
I got always checking on the cats, the baby, blah, 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 bing. But I've even did that when I just had the cats.
I know you did.
I always check in. Sometimes you got to go to the post office. You know, there's so many aspects to this game. I just don't show up no more. I got to fucking go on the emails and check and go on the fucking Twitters and check the fucking who gets a shout out. I got to think of fucking music to play for these people. I got to get a guest. You got to think of shit to talk about, or at least have bullet points. There's always a preparation.
Mm-hmm.
Your time goes into preparation. And then there's everything else. Then there's a cleanup. Who didn't send you a fucking check? Why are you missing a check? That's 2 fucking days. You know, this week they banged me out for the fucking card at the hotel for smoking in my room. I don't smoke in my room. So that's $250. I got to wait on the hotel hour for an hour. I had to call the other hotel because I thought I was paying it for the hotel, and I basically paid Expedia. So there was a snowstorm, so I couldn't fly in. I called the hotel. They said, don't worry about it. When you get here, your room will be here, and we'll refund you $100. No, they ended up charging me money because Expedia canceled my fucking reservation. So now I got to call Expedia and talk to some fucking foreigner who don't know fucking English for an hour. And that takes fucking, you know, I wish I had that African with the fucking fake fucking sign language next to me on the phone to help me with these fucking people they connect you with in these different fucking countries that don't hablo. And they want, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's fucking tough.
Yeah.
I went to United Airlines. I don't have no beef with United Airlines. But they put some fucking chick on there that no hablo. So the bitch don't fucking hablo. She ends up charging me $79 extra for something I didn't even look for. Cocksuck. I told her something else. The $29 go through security line.
Yeah.
Board first. She gave me something fucking completely different and charged me double. So now I got to argue with United Airlines like a fucking mutt for 20 minutes. Because they got to go back for the tape recording and all this shit. So you've always got cleanup. You've always got they sent you a script, but that's not the script. They sent you a contract. That's not the contract. You wanted this. Now it goes back to the lawyer. Now they call. My lawyer calls and they go, can we call you back Thursday at 4 o'clock? What? Like, they call you to make a fucking appointment.
Yeah.
In that time, the lawyer could have been fucking calling you. It is a fucking nightmare.
Yeah, it's something. It's so weird because I spent my whole life in school. So you go to school all day. And then I didn't have any time off between going to work, so I'd be at work all day. And I'm trying to, that's why I started my own podcast. And I'm helping other people with their podcast because I don't know what to do all day. Like, I'm trying to do stuff. I got the CD ready, but now that's done, and it's just
gonna put some of the stuff on paper.
That's ready. I talked to the CD guy yesterday, but that was like an hour. So like, I signed up to do. I couldn't go because I was at the unemployment office, but I signed up to do like focus groups. Like, I was like, I don't know what the fuck to do all day, and it's I have to start adding stuff to my day.
The gym.
Yeah, that's something.
The gym is an anchor. You know, you got to get out of the house to create sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You really got to get out because you get stagnant in front of that fucking computer, and you get stagnant on that couch. Nothing wrong with going to a little coffee shop and read, tea sitting in the corner with a notebook, just getting fresh air, just getting new thoughts in your head. I get stale in that fucking room.
The issue is, I'm creative in ways, but I'm not going to write anything.
You never know. Take it with you. Just the ideas. Just the thought that goes to the piece of paper. What thoughts you have for your podcast. What thoughts you have for your life. What little goals you want. Then you check it every 90 days and see if you're on fucking track.
Okay.
You got to keep yourself on track. There's always, you know, I used to fucking sell shit on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And believe it or not, when you sell shit on the phone, there's a script.
Yeah.
All right? And you recite the fucking script. And you get good at the script and you start selling. And then one day you become fucking smarter than everybody else and you fucking say, fuck this script. And you go on this fucking tangent and you give people ear beatings. And guess what? Now you're not selling. You got to go back to the script. There's got to be a beginning, a middle, and a fucking end. And, you know, even when I was doing blow, as unorganized as I seem, I'm organized. So do you understand me? Organization and discipline have to be a fucking must. Listen, I'm the last guy that wants to sit down with a piece of paper and a notebook. But if I could do it for 35 fucking minutes, get up, smoke a number, come back for another 35, I did my goal for the day. You know, Eddie Bravo's calling in today. And I got my first stripe on my belt at jiu-jitsu.
That's awesome.
And it's fucking scary because it scared the shit out of me. I always thought I was going to die. Before I go to jiu-jitsu, I kiss the dog and the cat, and I'd make sure I lift a will because it was that hard. Jiu-jitsu was that hard for me. Like, I found my fucking heart. I could see my heart beating. I had to walk outside and get air. But in time, it got better and better for me.
That's awesome.
I got enthusiastic about it, you know. And I'm not the best jiu-jitsu guy. I'm not good at all. I've never submitted nobody. But just the thing that I'm going, and I've gotten emails from people that say, hey, man, just because you're going, I just joined because you're 50. I try to go twice a week. I put two anchors. Nothing could stand in the middle of those anchors.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to go to those classes when you know nothing else is going to interrupt them, so you don't ever have to say, I can't go to class today.
Yeah. And that's tough. But
and that's very tough. So, yeah. But you join a school that has night classes and day classes, and you find the best. And worst case scenario, you just go to the open mat, and somebody there will teach you something. And you move, which, even if you're just holding somebody, and they're pushing against you, and laying against you and pushing you, you're using your muscles, you're breathing, you're getting all that old shit out of there. That potato chip. You ever sweat and you could sweat and smell the shit you fucking eat?
No.
If I don't fucking... My body's so used to sweating now that when I don't sweat for 2 days, that first batch of sweat is a skunk.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's not from my armpit. It's just like it's now that it's used to it. My body's used to it. I enjoy, okay. You know, listen, man, when I lived on Schrader, I was worse than you. This is why I know what I'm talking to you about. When I lived on Schrader and when I live now, we'll get, you know, it's very hard to get my wife on the phone because the baby's always fucking awake. But, when I lived on Schrader, my life was completely different. That's why there was nothing going on in my life. Because my whole goal then, yes, it was comedy, but it was tied with cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
It was tied with that secret fucking addiction I had, that which meant going to the house at night and getting blasted. So yeah, my first, in the back of my mind, yeah, I dug comedy, but on the other side, I loved cocaine a little fucking more. So the first object of the day was to get money to score blow.
Okay.
Once the money was scored, then I could focus on the coke and my addiction wouldn't bother me all fucking day. You understand me?
Mm-hmm.
So I had a structure. I knew I was going to snort coke at 11:30. Now I had to find shit to do before that. So I did two spots. I did one at 8:30 and I did one at 11:15 or something. You understand me?
Mm-hmm.
I would sleep. I would stay up till 4 or 5. I would get up at 7. Drink something, talk to Terry, and go back to bed till 11 in those days.
Mm-hmm.
But I would get up at 7 and go on the computer and see what was going on. And if nothing was going on, I'd go back to fucking bed. I'd feed the cats, and I'd go back to bed. I didn't sleep straight till 11. Then I'd go back, catch another 3 hours. I swear to God, I wouldn't leave the house till the cigarettes were gone. The only reason why I would get up and leave those days is because I was on the cigarettes.
Yeah, I can see that.
So I would look to see, ooh, I got 9 cigarettes. I got 2 episodes of Law and Order. I got spaghetti. I would get up in those days and eat 3 eggs, the whole package of bacon.
Mm-hmm.
We would buy 5 packages of bacon in those days.
A week?
A week.
Oh, wow.
And we would fry up the whole thing in the morning. 3 eggs for me, 2 for her, a half a loaf of bread, butter, and 6 or 7 cans of soda between the both of us. It was amazing. It was amazing how much my lifestyle changed. And in the middle of all this, Lee, and I don't have to lie to anybody, I lived across the street from the YMCA.
People, like across the street?
People, not around the block, not a mile away. I lived across the street from the fucking Y. And in the back of my mind, I made believe they sold cancer in there. I wouldn't even walk on that side of the street, Lee.
Really?
I wouldn't even walk on that side of the fucking street. And the best thing that happened to me was getting the longest yard and realizing how bad a shape and how bad my body had become from the days I was taking care of myself. Like how bad a shape I really was. To go in there the first time and to be able to walk 3 minutes on the Stairmaster on 0.5 and have to fucking turn it off is a pathetic fucking statement to ever make in public. I remember the trainer looking at me and going, I can't help you. You gotta quit smoking cigarettes.
Oh shit, okay.
I was, Lee, but I'm telling you, I would only leave the house in those days at 8 o'clock at night, and if I could get Terry to go up the corner and get cigarettes, you weren't going to see me in the fucking sunlight. Every once in a while. And then it was so weird how I got into it. I started going to Kenpo Karate in Los Feliz with Rock Orbisi's son. That's how I got into getting healthy. And he helped me a little bit. And I would go to the Y and move around. And I started doing fucking Qigong, which is Tai Chi, another, you know, with just slow movements. And I'd be satisfied with that. But I was doing something.
Yeah.
Which is all that matters. It didn't matter that I was just doing this shit. And he would teach me forms, and I'd make believe I was kung fu and shit. What mattered was that I was moving, you know? And that's how I became friends with Superbad, Evie, and Lulu. That was...
Your cats.
2007.
Yeah.
They were just born, and they were living under a tree in DJ. And
I would,
and I would go out there every day and do Qigong. And stretch, and they would walk around.
And that's how you met your cats?
That's how I became friendly with them. And they would come around and stand there and watch me. And then when I would step towards them, they'd all scatter, except DJ, the little Siamese guy. So every day I'd go out there in the sunlight. But that was my workout, that. But at least I was going out. I was just going out to the backyard. That's why I say to you, go to the pool. Just do me a favor, go to the pool. Go to the pool, stretch your arms, do some jumping jacks, and you'll see that the next movement is for you to go for a walk. And you go for a walk. But you have to do this every day without a checklist. Just write it down in that notebook. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Every day before anything happens, you got to go for a walk. You know, you're going to get up, you're going to drink some water, and you're going to go for a walk. You're going to smoke, you're going to come in here and roll a joint. If you roll that joint, Lee, and go like this and turn it off, you're going to be zoomed enough to take you for a little joint. Then you're going to get an iPod. And you're going to start walking around the neighborhood listening to that fucking Jew music, jumping up and down. Because I was thinking about it the other day. I was watching a commercial or something. They had one of those concerts where young kids jump up and down. I'm like, Lee, don't do that.
I do too.
For how long? 2 seconds?
Not for the whole time.
45 minutes you jump up and down.
No, I mean, you don't. You stop jumping up and down. Like
and you
can't
don't do no ecstasy. You don't do no soda.
No, I'm the only one. I'm the only one there sober.
You still want the head of ecstasy? You going to do the ecstasy tonight with the wife?
Nah, I would do an edible with her, but not ecstasy.
You sure you want to do a little hit of ecstasy with mama? I'll leave you. I'll get you 2 hits of X. I'll give you a watermelon and a fucking whip. And I'll come back tomorrow. You'll be a different fucking man. You'll be smiles from head to head. You have a whip mark going right through your fucking skull.
Oh, she's going to whip me?
Sure, why not? When was the last time you got whipped or pissed on?
Never.
A chick never peed on you? You never let a chick pee on
you. Do you think of these questions?
No, like you it's because I'm just crazy. I'm just crazy. I don't want to know. I want to know where, how deep you think. You never taken this chick into the shower and said, pee on me like a fucking savage.
I've taken a chick into the shower, but not said pee on
next,
me.
Tonight, tell Paul to pee on you. Say,
no, I don't want that to happen.
Some fucking tamale piss. Let it go on my neck.
How's it going to get on my neck? Am I going to be sitting down?
Yeah, you're going to kneel, and she's going to make piss. She's going to pick up her leg and just pee on you, and you're going to take it like this. And you tonight, I don't want you to open your mouth. That's rookie-type shit the first time. Tonight, you keep your mouth shut like a soldier, and you breathe out your nose, and you take that pee like a, you know, and then you just let it on you. It's a tremendous experience. You're going to love it. It's not like I do it every day. I haven't done it in like 18 years, but when I did it, I did it. You understand me?
That sounds like a terrible
idea. I can't
tell
Terry to pee on me. She'd throw me out.
Exactly. So would Paula.
Nah, you're still in those developmental. So you can still get away with creepy questions. You've only been dating how long? 6 months.
Yeah,
you can still get away with fucked up shit. If you don't stick your finger up her ass now, you're not going to stick your finger up her ass 8 years from now. What's wrong with you?
There's shit up there.
There's not. Yes, they're not like us, the animals that take a half a shit and walk around with shit in our assholes all day, spreading stink. They fucking shit like normal people. They take their time. They're in there 30 fucking minutes. No, you just stick. And so what? So what? You get a little fucking brown shit on your finger. You just wipe it on the blanket.
Oh, no.
And then you sniff your finger like a fucking captain.
That is the worst thing.
Lee Syatt, ladies and gentlemen. The church of what's fucking happening now, you sexy motherfuckers. I got to tell you something before the show goes on. From the bottom of myself and the Jew's heart, we really, really, really miss you. Wish you a Merry Christmas, man.
Yeah.
We hope you spend it with your families and have a great day and everything's safe. That's the most important thing. I want you motherfuckers to be safe. I don't want to get no tweets that any of us in this fucking network of love, reefer, and fucking dropping knowledge on motherfuckers gets hurt over the holidays. It would break my fucking heart. So please, even I'm worried about this fucking Strutz that's flying back to Boston. You got me all worried now. The holidays are going to kidnap the plane and take you to fucking Israel and butt fuck you and stick a finger up your ass.
No, I'm flying JetBlue. They don't, you know, they don't kidnap JetBlue. You know,
those terrorists will stick a finger up your ass. That's
of course they will.
They get back at you for Guantanamo. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, there's no Jews at Guantanamo. There's no Jewish guards.
Who do you think invented Guantanamo? You think three white dudes with a set of drums went down there? No, a fucking Jew that said, let's take people there and torture those motherfuckers.
Oh, my God.
You want to smoke some more reefer?
No, thank you.
You want to do another edible?
I'm okay.
We opened up the bang with an edible.
Yeah, I don't even get credit for it anymore. I just have to do it off camera.
You're not supposed to get credit for anything.
Yes, I am.
Nobody, listen. I forget. I'm fucking. I forget the knowledge I was going to drop on you. But you know what I'm saying? Fuck it.
What do you think?
Character is what you do when nobody's around.
But you're around. What do you think about? Agostino and I were talking about it the other day, and there was another school shooting last week, and Paul and I were arguing about like whether or not you would homeschool kids or send kids to school with a bulletproof vest. Like, what do you? Because Mercy's too young, but she's gonna be around that age in a few years.
Like, I live in fear. I live in fear.
Really? Like what's?
I live in fear for my child, and I live in fear for everybody else's child. Because things happen in life, but nobody's fucking child should be shot by a fucking gun when they're sitting in a fourth grade fucking class. Okay? Kid can't witness that shit. Kids cannot handle that shit. I say a joke on stage, but it's not a joke. When I seen that porno when I was 13 or 12, it fucking ruined me. It ruined me sexually towards people. It gave me this weird feeling about sex. I don't think about it now, and I didn't know this when it happened. I'm not going to lie to you and tell you I'm ruined for life. But I realized at 35 that something wasn't fucking right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Your kids can't handle a shooting. Kids can't handle seeing a teacher shot in the fucking head or a kid their age shot or some person shooting through the fucking hallways.
Yeah.
Lee, you're an adult. If you had a machine gun right now through the fucking, and it had nothing to do with you, you would shit your pants.
Fuck
I'm not,
yeah.
I'm not trying to be funny.
No, no, fuck yeah.
Something would come out because it came out of me. It came out of me. You know, it wasn't like when I saw Juan shoot that guy in the fourth grade, I already knew what Juan was about. I knew that he had given people beatings. I didn't think he was going to shoot this guy at the Santa Maria fucking party. I never thought he was going to do that in front of my godmother and in front of all those people. But that's what I found out that night. And it didn't shock me. It wasn't like he just took out a gun and shot somebody. Do you understand me? That's going a little too strong.
Yeah.
So I was prepared for him already. You're not prepared. Your mother wakes you up in the morning. She gives you cereal. She packs your lunch. She gets you in the car. She drives you to school. She gives you a fucking kiss. You're going to school. You're just a kid. You don't know about Social Security and insurance and a new tire. You don't know anything of those things. And I don't want you to know about any of those things. You're a fucking kid.
Yeah.
And you walk into your class and you hang your jacket up and you pledge allegiance to the class and you sit down and all of a sudden fucking 10 to 10, some fucking moron that snapped comes in with a gun. Now, this isn't what pisses me off. This is going to happen. It's going to get more popular.
It's but getting more popular.
Let me explain something to you. Did you read into this one in Colorado? It was, he's 18, he just bought a fucking shotgun. He bought the gun December 6th, guys. Now, didn't we have two shootings in Colorado, Littleton and the other one? Why are we selling fucking shotguns to 18-year-old fucking kids? Okay, you want a gun, at least bring your fucking dad in until you're 21. So Colorado right there, I don't know what the fuck you were thinking. He shot that poor girl. The reports were she was 15 at first. She wasn't 15, she was a 17-year-old student. You know what? How old my fucking niece is in Tennessee? She's 17 fucking years old. I think that fucking makes me feel. And there, they got guns. Now, let me tell you what the biggest problem is here. And people disrespect the language. I know it's the holiday season, but I got to drop it on you how it is. This ain't fucking spicks and niggas and Arabs. These are white kids, okay? So there's no even blame. In Littleton, Colorado, have you been to Littleton, Colorado?
No.
Have you been to that fucking area there? They don't even like black people in that area. There's no chubbies in that fucking area. So we have to take care of this fucking problem. Something's there. I'm not fucking pointing fingers at nobody. I'm just stating a fucking fact here. My heart goes out to these families. I have to I live in fear. You think I'm going to homeschool Mercy? I don't know what the fuck to do.
Yeah, because it's happening at night. It's not like it's happening regardless of race. It's not happening in bad neighborhoods. Like I was on my podcast yesterday, happened at my school. Luckily, the kid didn't bring a gun. The kid brought a knife and only got one kid. But it like
Did you see it?
I didn't. Luckily, I came in afterwards, and they brought us to a different room.
It's devastating for a child to see that. Listen, man, one of the fucking things, and I make fun of everything in my childhood. One thing I don't make fun of is what I saw when I was about. I saw a couple fucking bad things when I was 13 or 14. After my mother died, I saw a Mazda RX-7 with a young couple in it fucking against a pole one night, wrapped around a pole, and I was going to hit an acid with Mike Denny. Mike Denny's doing 20 to life, no parole in North Carolina right now for fucking killing his wife. God bless you, Mike. I swear to fucking God, Mike Denny's doing 20 to life. I was going to hit an acid with listen to Aerosmith, and we saw the accident. We got out, and I still remember to this day the girl yelling for her life.
He
was dead. She was yelling for her life. That shit I shouldn't have seen at 16, but guess what it taught me? I don't fucking drink and drive.
Yeah.
Okay? When I was about 12, maybe 13, there was a couple. The house that you saw, you witnessed the fucking house.
Mm-hmm.
I lived in a house here next to me. There was a wall, and there was the Ortizes and some, another family. The Ortizes owned the house. So in New Jersey and other residential cities, people own a house. They live downstairs, and the people upstairs rent out.
Yeah.
There was this one couple that lived upstairs for a short time. And I became friendly with the woman. The woman was fucking beautiful. You know, when you see like a 40-year-old woman, that's hot. She was Spanish. And the boyfriend was kind of an asshole. He always had to park on the street. He always had a beef because the Ortizes had the garage. And he had started a beef with the Ortizes. And one night, I fucking come home. I don't know where the fuck I'm at, but I'm with Jose Torres. He drives me home. Papo, that's what his name was. He drives me home. I get out of the car, and as I'm entering my house, I hear a woman yelling, bro. And I didn't know who it was, and I was young, and I was scared, and I was a little fucking faggot. I'm not going to lie to you. I couldn't wait to open up the door and run in, and within that, I heard her run out. And it was Mrs. whatever her name was, run out, half naked, beautiful fucking body, blood on 40% of her body, blood all over her fucking head, blood all over her fucking face. And I opened the door and she ran. I go, Ma, it's late next door. And the lady ran in and my mom's like, who did this to you? And she goes, my husband. Dog, my mom went and got like 3 fucking knives. That bitch was polishing those motherfuckers.
Jesus Christ.
There was one thing about my mother. She hated all that shit. She hated all that.
Didn't call the police. She's like, all right, I'll get some knives.
No. My mother was anti-domestic violence and there's no police necessary. I'll take care of this fucking problem.
I love that story of you were at a sleepover and like your mom threw like an ashtray at Juan.
Oh, that's a truth. And then she hit him in the head and then he lit the cigarette and threw it at him and she hit him in the head with a saint. She hit him in the head with a fucking saint, guys. And even though she was bleeding, she goes, that's the last time that motherfucker ever hit me again. My mom had a strict fucking thing against that shit. Unwritten. You know, I didn't know till years later the whole story. The reason why she had the alias and all that stuff is because she had stabbed somebody in Cuba when she was 16. Somebody said something to her sister. She fucking opened that motherfucker up. They had to take her out of Cuba. Then she came back with the alias and she got out. And she went down there and had me. That's why I can't even find paperwork, because she had me on that fucking alias.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, this is a fucking story for the ages here. The alias. That's the fucking story of my life. But it's hysterical. That guy came running up. That guy came. Let me tell you what happened. That guy came running up. But something happened that saved that man's life. And I'm going to tell you what, sometimes something saves your life that's even worse than the fate that's getting served to you. So we pull her in and we shut the door.
Okay.
And I'm like, you know, I'm a kid. I don't know. I'm yelling, call the cops, call the police. I don't even know. There was no cops in front of my mom. I couldn't even say the word cops. Not that she hated them, but she didn't believe in calling the police. This is a block problem. Let's take care of this. A fucking block. And as I ran in or something, I don't know what that bitch said, I saw her running for the kitchen. And my mom had a drawer of regular knives. And then she had the other thing with the big butcher knife. She liked cutting shit.
Yeah.
I remember. She took 2 knives out. And she went to the door. But I hear something hit. And we thought it was he had hit the garage. What happened was Juan was opening up the garage door. So the guy ran into Juan outside. Juan didn't like the guy, and Juan would take the guy out within minutes. And I guess Juan said something to the guy. Then my mother came out with a knife, and that's when Juan looked at my mother, and my mother went in. And that was the end of that. They put the lady up. You know, I don't remember the whole thing. They taped her up and cleaned her up. She was a knockout. I remember thinking about fucking her when she was sleeping upstairs that night, beat up. I was a young kid with no hair on my dick. But she was that hot. She was a real fucking cougar. Not like you dirty whores walking around today calling yourself a fucking cougar. Stop texting, Lee cocksucker. So that's that. But you know, I made a joke about it, but it was traumatizing to see a woman covered in fucking blood.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine.
He had opened her head. He did so many bad things to her. And I remember the next day my mom said something to her, and they moved out probably 2 weeks after that. It was around the holidays. It was around the holidays when that happened.
Yeah.
I remember we had a tree in the living room. It was around the holidays. So it was a couple of days afterward or a couple of days before, and this went down, and they were gone by like January 15th. Like, they were gone. She was embarrassed. He was embarrassed. Yeah, that's a... It's you know, listen, man, this kid thing, I worry every day. When I go to the mall to play with her sometimes, I'm sitting there going... when I go in there, I'm prepared. I'm looking at the exits. I know that I could smother her. You know, I'll take the bullet instead of her. She's fucking 11 months. So you're prepared for this, and it's very sad.
It's terrible. That call coming out.
EB.
What's up, dog?
What's up, baby? Everything all right? Where you at?
I'm in my car down the street from my house.
Oh, that's right. You get no reception up there in planet fucking 10th planet rock.
Am I on the air?
Yeah, you're on the air. You're live, brother. We don't fuck around with you. Going to tape you for Tuesday? Fuck that shit.
Oh, shit.
How you doing today, my man? Nothing. We're just here talking about, you know, this last kid shooting that, you know, you're a parent and I'm a parent now, and it's so weird how you have to think now. Like, 10 years ago, if a school got shot, you think about it, you say it's a shame. But now you know that your son will be in school in 3 years, and, you know, you think about these things now, you know? And we were talking about maybe homeschooling your child. What are your thoughts, my man?
Well, I'm down for homeschooling. I like that. I think if you put your kids in jiu-jitsu or a good martial arts program, they'll get that camaraderie that's needed growing up that you get from school. You know, but in school, some kids get put through bullshit. And I think I'm not sure, but I'm starting to think that... because I know some homeschooled kids that do jiu-jitsu, and they're great kids. They're actually better than normal. They're extraordinary, and they're really good at jiu-jitsu, and they have a great relationship with their father. It's I see that time and time again. And like, there's one guy at Hoffa Mendes School that's homeschooled, and he trains most of the time. And you know, he's growing up in honesty. You know, because in school, kids they have no idea how their ego is making them act like fools. They have no idea. You can't do that in jiu-jitsu. In kids' class, there is none of that shit. There's no bullying. There's nothing but respect for one another. You respect the younger kids because you remember when you were younger, and you respect the older kids because you know you have to. There's no choice. You can't be a douchebag to someone that could tap you out 5 times in 5 minutes. It just doesn't make any sense. So it forces you to be honest. So, I don't know. I homeschooling is something that me and my wife are definitely thinking about. We still got time to really, you know, make the final decision. But my wife is just super mom. She's already homeschooling him. You know, all she does is teach him like all day. She's homeschooling him already, so she might be able to handle it. I don't know. We'll see. But as far as the school shooting goes, you want to see a real school shooting like the way. You know, that I'm still not convinced of what happened in Sandy Hook was, I don't know what the fuck happened there. But when you look at a real school shooting, you go to YouTube and push Brazil school shooting, and you see what a school shooting looks like. It's kids fucking going nuts, running out of the classroom. There's blood everywhere. Some kids are shot in the arm. Some kids are shot in the leg. Everyone's going nuts. All the kids are scattering, running. You know, in Sandy Hook, there was none of that. Like, all the kids were dead, and some little retard kid killed all the kids. None of them got away. There's nobody injured and there's nobody hurt. And there's no video of hysteria and kids running out of the school and everyone going nuts. Everything was all quiet on lockdown. Like it was like church or something. It was weird. I don't that Sandy Hook shit. There's too much bullshit going on with that. We didn't get the whole truth. There's some other shit going on there that they, you know. That's what I think, anyways.
I never really looked into it that much because I don't even want to look into it. I don't really want to even know. I know it's something fucked up. I know it's something more than what we know. I know this. This cannot just be happening because kids are doing this. These kids are walking in there and they're half fucking momoed up. You see the pictures when they arrest them. If they live, they're half fucking momoed up. It looks like they're on fucking drugs or something. Look at this kid that went into LAX. Something's not right. But, you know, all you do, Eddie, when I go out to eat now, when I go to a mall and I'm eating, I'm nervous. I'm going to be nervous in Vegas next weekend. Any room I go into now? Yeah, I'm going
You're going to stay for the UFC?
No, I'm coming back. I got a babysitter. It's my wife's birthday, and I'm coming back. I'll tape it and watch it later on.
Isn't that crazy? Isn't it crazy that probably the greatest UFC ever to date is that Saturday? We've been to so many that we could just, no problem, just like, you know what? I'd rather just get on a plane and watch it at home at night by myself. Isn't that crazy?
I've been gone for 6 weeks. Before this weekend right now, it was 6 weeks before that. So right now, I don't have time to waste a night. You know, when I sit for the UFC, it's 6 hours in the daytime that you sit there smoking dope. You go down, you talk to some people, you eat. Then the fight, then you're sitting on your ass for another 6 hours. You're thinking about jokes, you're thinking about all this shit. I get anxiety. You know, by the 7 o'clock card, I'm getting anxiety. I'm like, fuck. And then Vegas locks you out. Because there's no way to get out of Vegas after 9 o'clock unless you drive the fuck out. And I ain't driving. There's no flights after 9 o'clock. Did you know that?
That's nuts. You would think that there would be some 2 a.m. flights out of Vegas, into Vegas and out of Vegas.
Nothing. Nothing. Ugach. Nothing. And they do that for a fucking reason. If you're not at the airport by 8 o'clock on Friday and Saturday, forget going fucking home from Vegas. How far? You found out. You drove both times, right?
Yeah.
Not Eddie, my man here.
Yeah.
What's on the horizon, Eddie? What are you hearing? You know, people ask me all the time if this super fight's still on with you and my man. I don't have no fucking answers. What are you hearing?
Yeah, it's on 100%. That's all I can say. It's on 100%. You will find out soon the date, and you will find out soon the venue, but it's happening 1,000%.
And you know what? I got to tell you, and I got to tell you like a man, I love you to death. I will probably be at the event. I have a gig that weekend in Miami, or they closed Miami, but they put me in Fort Lauderdale. But I got to tell you, I will be there with a 10th Planet hat on, the shirt, my cock out, saluting the 10th Planet flag. But I cannot walk with you as one of your trainers because the last time that happened, it was bad luck.
It was bad luck?
Yeah. That was the beginning of Mayhem's bad luck. When he brought Kevin James. He don't know nothing about fucking jiu-jitsu. Why is he up there standing up there spreading bad luck? The guy had two bad movies back to back, and this idiot takes him up there to jump up and down. That was the beginning of the end for Mayhem. So I can't do that for you. You're my brother. I have no position. If I was a purple belt, I would walk you down. If I was a purple belt, I would walk you down because I could offer you advice. I could say, grab the leg, Eddie, get down, watch the fucking underhook. I could tell you that shit. But you know me, I'm just a fucking corporal.
You know what? That's actually really good advice that you just said right there. I know you probably weren't even thinking, and you were probably just talking out of your ass, but you said watch the underhook. And that's what he likes to get on top. He likes to get in top half and grab that head and arm with the underhook. And that's what he did to me in the first match. So that was good advice, because I am going to watch that underhook.
You know how many times I watched that fucking fight, you in Brazil, and you crying and hugging and jumping up and down and all that? I probably watched that fight 250 times.
No way.
Yeah, I watched that. I watch it and cry. I cry for you sometimes. How's that? After I really got to know you, I would watch it, and I was blown away that this is the same kid I went down to some strip club to see, and, you know, this is amazing. This is amazing to me. So amazing that it took me fucking 8 years to join jiu-jitsu, and now I fucking love it. I love it. I watch all your videos online. I watch you first. Now I've been watching you too much, and now I watch Marcelo Garcia, the number two man. I watch your stuff. But my favorite all-time match is you against Joe Moreira when you did the John Jock sweep. And I still want you to teach me the John Jock sweep, but you're not going to put a gi top on, so I'm in no danger. So that's the situation there. That's my favorite one, when you were a purple belt and you fought Joe Moreira. But I watched. It was funny because I get into videos and I'll put them on my lineup and I'll watch them. And I'll smoke pot and I'll write jokes. And I hadn't watched the Brazilian fight, the Abu Dhabi, since about August. And I watched it last week, and I called you immediately with a question that why did you start so low? with your feet out like that. That was the reason why. I didn't want to tell you. But no, I watch all that stuff. You know, I'm 50. I can't do a lot of the stuff. But I was, I know, remember, what was the, remember Carter? Remember Black Carter that used to train with you? He used to trade out of Irvin, Lloyd Irvin school. He came with the Arab for a while. They were training. They had the weed store.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Black Carter.
Carter.
Yeah, he's my friend on Facebook. He once told me that with jiu-jitsu, you have your money moves. He goes, yeah, you know all those moves, but you don't fucking do them. They're not for your body type. He goes, you're going to learn three or four moves that are your body type, and you're going to know them how Ronda Rousey knows the armbar. You know, and that's all you fucking need. So this is why it's so weird how I started watching all your stuff, and it's amazing. You're an amazing fucking jiu-jitsu guy, and I understand your, you know, philosophies. I have half the flexibility, Eddie. I have to have the flexibility. My legs are fucking even more flexible than they were years ago.
Yeah, but it's never too late to do jiu-jitsu. There's babies that do jiu-jitsu. There's a 80-year-old people that do jiu-jitsu. It's never too late. And there's a lot of people out there that aren't in the best shape of their life. You know what I mean? So you can use jiu-jitsu to get in the best shape of your life. You have no idea, you know, how many guys came in and, you know, after a year of jiu-jitsu, they lost 100 pounds. Robert Bradley, the editor of my shows, Mastering the System and my podcast, he used to be over 300 pounds. He's 190 pounds now. And that was all from jiu-jitsu. You know, so it's never too late to start over. It's never too late to get your shit together. It's never too late to get in the best shape of your life. And the older you get, the more of a reason you should get in the best shape of your life. The old, not, you know, some people say, well, you know, I'm too old to get in shape. Like, that's why you have to get in shape. That's why you have to be one of those dudes that's 65 years old but look fucking great. You know what I mean? Body looks good. There's no reason why you can't. There's nothing holding you back. There's no chains tying you down. You can do whatever you want. You can move your body in any way you want. There's nothing's illegal. You can do jiu-jitsu. You can go to the gym. You can watch what you eat. You can do all that shit. Everyone out there can be in the greatest shape of your life. You know, if you're a quadriplegic, maybe not, or something, or you're missing your legs, but still, look at the Kyle Maynard. That guy doesn't have any arms, and he doesn't have any legs, and he's out there doing jiu-jitsu. That guy doesn't have any arms, any legs, and he's out there doing jiu-jitsu. And he looks great, too. He has the face of an Abercrombie Fitch model. So anybody telling me they're too old or they're out of shape, and I don't hear any of that. I don't hear any of that.
I go in, Eddie, and I am blown away by what I'm learning, Eddie. You don't understand. Yeah, this is all new to me. And I ain't going to lie to you, the first 90 days, I didn't know what the fuck they were talking about. All my goal was to get back in the car 2 hours later. That's it. I wasn't tapping out. I wasn't going to go home. Nothing was going to stop me. I was just going basically, I don't know nothing. Arm bars, I knew nothing, Eddie. I knew what I watched on UFC, what I watched when I watch your tapes. The only thing I watch, I don't watch Marcelo's fights on YouTube. I tell you what I do watch. I watch all his beginner stuff. He's got great escapes from the side mount and stuff like that. I do watch little things like that. And the more
I took a lot of my side control escape system from Marcelo. The combination of Marcelo's best stuff, Jean-Jacques Machado's best stuff, and Javi Vasquez's best stuff. I put all that together, and there's so many different ways to escape side control. I mean, you look at the way Henner teaches it online, and him and Huron are doing some other kind of, they're on their back and their opponent has them in side control and they're clinching them from the bottom and squeezing them and just smashing them so that the guy on the top eventually has to push off to get anything going. And as soon as he pushes off, they time it perfectly and go and recover guard. It's pretty amazing. I mean, I'm sitting here talking about it and as I'm talking about it, I'm like, damn, I got to start working on that shit. You know what I mean? Because, you know, my side control system is not like the Huron Henner one. It's like the opposite. So it'd be a good way. I used to always use my flexibility to escape. You know, my flexibility is pretty good, and I always relied on that for escaping the mount, escaping the back, escaping side control. But not everyone has the flexibility I do. So I decided to get, you know, put my pedal to the metal and master side control skates that don't require flexibility, which I wasn't used to. But I decided to do it. And then now, since I did it, and I got the best of Jean-Jacques Machado. I went to his academy. It was Jean-Jacques, my brother, my father, my grandfather. Show me your best shit, because his flexibility ain't that great. So I just wanted to take him. And what Marcelo Garcia doesn't have good flexibility either. Take his shit, and then Javi Vasquez. He has great flexibility, but he's got similar stuff to Marcelo and Jean-Jacques, but he's got his own twist on it. And I took concepts of all three and put them together into a system where I could teach and make it really, really easy to learn and follow and actually implement. But now what I'm doing is I'm combining all the non-flexibility escapes back with my flexibility escapes. I'm putting them together, and really that's the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is to keep always work on your flexibility, always try to get to the next level of your flexibility. No matter where you're at in the development, no matter where you're at, you still got to work to at least maintain and at least get to the next level. Let's get to the next level. And then when you get to the next level, then we'll worry about the level above that. But let's just take it level at a time. A lot of people look at working on the flexibility, and the flexibility sucks. But then they're thinking, fuck, man, there's no way I'm going to get to, you know, in full loaders. There's no way. So then they just give up right there. And, you know, you gotta learn how to think sometimes. You know, you don't think like that. You think like, okay, that may be unattainable. You could think that if you want. It's not, but you could think that if it makes you feel better. But what is attainable is that next level of flexibility, just a little bit better, or at least maintaining your flexibility. So you, whether you believe you can achieve the proper flexibility or not, you have to believe that you have to maintain it, because if you don't maintain it, you'll get worse and worse and worse. So at the very least, don't let it get worse. But what's going to end up happening is you are going to take it to that next click, that next level. And then from there, you'll take it to the next click. So no matter where you are in those clicks, those thousand levels, no matter where you are, every day, everyone's doing the same thing. Me, Sean Bollinger, who's super flexible, Einstein, who's kind of flexible now. He used to suck, but he finally got his shit together. Guys that are way low on the levels. We all are doing the same thing, no matter where you're at, no matter who you are, no matter what color you are. We're all doing the same thing, working on our flexibility, working on our next level, whatever that level may be. So no matter who you are, you've got to at least maintain it. If you're super flexible, you're going to still stretch to maintain it. So, you know, no matter what you believe, no matter what you think.
I'm having a hard time with judo rolls, Eddie.
Well, yeah, you know, it's the bigger you are, the harder a lot of the techniques are going to be. But you're going to use that to motivate you. It doesn't mean you can't do it.
No. I'm trying.
You got to practice it. You got to practice.
Yeah, I do those things from YouTube. There's a Brazilian guy that has this thing, 5 drills to better jiu-jitsu. And at night I put it on. I see the drills, and it's basically on my back and my feet on the wall. I put a sheet there so my dirty feet don't stain the paint. And I do all those little drills now, you know, and now I could put my leg over for the arm bar and shit like that, but I'm still having a hard time. I could do the whole length of the floor now to the hip escape. When I went in there, I could do 3 hip escapes, and I thought I was going to faint, Eddie. Eddie, the first 3 months I went to jiu-jitsu, before I go, I kissed those cats, because I definitely thought I was going to get a heart attack. And at that time, I had been doing 2 years of Kung Fu with the brothers. I go to the Y and hit the bag. I do so many fucking things, but it didn't prepare me for the cardio, because I knew none of that stuff. And I was moving around with 300 fucking pounds of weight trying to do those hip escapes. And then it was this one kid who's a nerd who goes, "Dog, let me fucking fix this hip escape for you. You're using too much energy. I want you to roll more on your arm." And then it started working. You know, my hip,
nice.
And now I could do it, and I love it. Like, I do more hip escapes than I do anything. When I go to a hotel now, I go to the fucking workout thing, and I do 20 hip escapes, and I put myself back in the position like I'm grabbing the guard back again. I do those stupid things. Salami gave me that big book.
The main thing you got to remember now, Joey, is you got to always remind yourself and always review the new techniques that you're getting good at. Remember how bad you were, Adam. Remind yourself of that, and then, because people forget, and then you forget that you suck at everything that you're good at. You just think about how good you are at the stuff you're good at, and that's it. And you forget about how bad you were with it, and then over time, once you put in the numbers and the reps, it slowly gets better. Then all of a sudden, one day you're rolling, and boom, you hit that shit like you owned it, like your whole life. And you forget how bad you suck. So then what happens is when you forget how bad you sucked at it, when you learn a new technique, if it doesn't feel good to you and it feels awkward to you, you'll think, a lot of guys will think, and I did this sometimes too, but you got to go back and break it down like a detective, that you will think, you know what, this one's just not for me. It feels really awkward. I don't really like it. I'm not going to do it. This is not for my body type. And if you get into that kind of way of thinking and breaking down new moves, you'll never add new shit. You know, you've got to remind yourself that, okay, everything felt awkward like this. Remember, dummy? It all felt like shit. You can learn this move. You can be a master of this move. Don't be retarded. Don't be lazy. Think. You want this move in your arsenal or not? Yes, of course you do. All you got to do is know that it's going to feel like shit in the beginning, but in time, with training, numbers, and reps, just that elementary ABC bullshit that you've learned your whole life, just that, if you just remember that, you're going to put that weapon in your system, and then you're going to put the next weapon in your system, and then any weapon you want. Then once you realize that and you think about that, and you actually think about it every day, you will begin to start making a list of all the techniques you want in your arsenal. You're like, I don't need to have 3 go-to moves. The only reason people have 3 go-to moves is because they're not... jiu-jitsu is so much fun to roll that people don't want to practice anymore. They just want to roll because it's so much fun. And if all you do is roll, it's very hard to add new things into your system. You have to drill and practice shit you suck at, knowing that you're going to be a master at this technique. It feels awkward and feels clumsy. And you know, you're not even beginning to get in that train of thought where you're like, man, this move is just not going to pan out for me. Don't ever get into that train of thought, and you'll have a bag of weapons, 30, 40, 50 weapons, not 3.
Well, I'll tell you what. 2 things fucked me. I'm infatuated right now with the, I'm infatuated with what your boy was doing to Chad Mendez last week. What was his guard on the floor?
Nick Lentz.
What was he doing to him? He was sticking his feet under his knees. What's that called? And he was pushing his hips up.
He's really good. Nick Lentz he's a wrestler who is one of those rare wrestlers that has a very hard guard to pass. He's very good. His best shit off his back is a guillotine from the guard. But he's been having it's very good. He was down at my school for 2 weeks.
No, I remember. I'll tell you what else I like, Eddie, because it fucked me up, is the spider guard. I was rolling with these guys from Simi Valley, and this fucking little skinny dude was fucking me up with that spider guard. And the next time I pulled that fucking guy into class, and I go, listen, I'll give you an extra $20. Let's work with me on this fucking spider guard. And he did it, and now I break out of it. But now I'm trying to do it to people because it works better for me. I could pull him by the collar and either get him in like a half omoplata with my leg, or I could try to get him in a fucking... But see, this is how much you influenced me. Me and you got super fucking high one day and went to Houston's. And that, to me, that day was the day I wanted to get into jiu-jitsu. It took me 3 years because I was so scared. But I said, if I ever got into jiu-jitsu, I was going to do exactly what you said. You gave me a fucking ear-beating that was so brilliant, Eddie. I wish I would have taped it. Because you said, well, you told me where the future jiu-jitsu was going, in your own words, but the key thing, you said you have to learn how to fight off your back. And I'll tell you, Eddie, I'm a big fat fuck, but I hate getting on top of people. I'm infatuated with learning how to work off my back because I'm just infatuated with it, Eddie. Number one, I want to overcome my sleep apnea. Number two, these are all the fears that I had walking in there. I didn't go in there to become a black belt. I went in there to overcome my fears. My fear of breathing on my back, my fear of dying on my back. This jiu-jitsu for me, when I leave jiu-jitsu, it's better for me than going to Vegas and winning $5,000. It does for my esteem what nothing has done for me. Because this has nothing to do with me being a tough guy, Eddie. This has, for me, I liked everything you said because I know it would overcome my fears. That's it.
Yeah, I if you're comfortable on your back and you're dangerous off your back, you become more than just comfortable, and then you end up loving being on your back. I mean, there is no bad spot for you in a fight, you know? If you don't like being on your back, if you don't enjoy it, if you try to, anytime you're in the guard, you're just like, fuck it, you just stand up and you just don't want to be there. One day, and it may happen often, more often than you think, you're going to have people put you on your back and there's nothing you can do about it. And then you're fucked. So, and that's the worst case scenario. That's your nightmare. So let's handle the nightmare. Let's make...
I love it. I love it.
Let's turn that nightmare into a dream. A beautiful dream. A dream where you can fly. You know, those kind of dreams. And you can do it. Because I start... The only time I'll start a roll on top of someone is if someone insists and they want to pull guard. They really... I usually just say, I'm pulling guard. I'm basically handicapping myself. And usually people are... They want to go on top of it. Okay. And I just want the foot. I like starting just from the foot. I pull half guard, and it's not even half guard. I pull quarter guard. That's where I like to start. So the only thing worse than quarter guard is being side controlled. So I like to start right on the edge of getting my guard pass. I love that. See, that's where my game starts. So, and then, you know, you got good side control escapes, then you're covered. You got good mount escapes. Like, I'm not really worried about being side controlled or being mounted. I'm really not. I still get caught every now and then. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm rolling with my dogs every night, and I got some killers. And every now and then I get caught. But I'm not ever freaking out ever if someone's mounting me or someone side controlling me. That doesn't really bother me. You know, I've been there so much, and I embrace it. And getting out of side control feels like a mini tap. It's like when someone passes by and they got your side control and you recover, it feels like a mini tap. It's not a full percent, like a quarter tap. You know what I'm saying? It's like, damn, you have side control on me, and boom, now you're back in my guard. You may never get side control ever again. It feels good. I like it. So I feel if everyone felt good on their back and they liked playing it, I like getting on top. I like using all... most of my guard work to get on top. I love passing the guard, and I love getting mount. I love working the mount. I love getting the back. I love getting in the truck. But I love it more when I started in the hole and I earned all that. I went, oh, I started in number one. It's like playing a video game, you know. You can play a video game, and you get – can you imagine playing Miss Pac-Man, and you start right at that right away at that – level where the bananas come out, like that fourth level. It's like, who does that? You want to start from the beginning. Like, you put your quarter in, and you want to start the game from the beginning. And to me, the beginning starts when you're in a bad spot, and you're in a hole. All you have is quarter guard. You really don't have that much. What can you do from there? And I got a whole system from there. People that I roll with, they know that once I get the foot, that's my home base. That's where I start from. It seems like a bad spot for me, but I don't think it's a bad spot. I like it. I got my whole game starts from there. That's where step one is, right there. Boom. I grab that foot. So I believe that I think I'm trying to instill that in all my students, is to feel comfortable, feel offensive off your back. Then there's really no, when you're on top, you take more chances too, because you don't care about getting rolled. There's a lot of guys that like staying in side control. They don't want to mount, because when they mount, they get rolled, and now they're on their back, and they're like, it's harder for that dude to roll me when I have him in side control. Fuck getting in the mount. There's fight teams and fight camps that have that philosophy. Don't mount, because when you mount, you can get rolled, and then you're going to be on your back. See, the thing is, that is true. But yes, side control is more stable than the mount. But the mount is where you could do all the damage, and that's where all the beautiful transitions come from. Yes, you could submit guys from side control, but it's harder. You have more control, harder to submit, harder to do damage with punches and elbows. It's harder. You can get into the crucifix, yes. But generally, overall, it's harder to do damage in side control, and it's harder to submit in side control, but you can do it. They're there. Mount, you have less stability, but damn, you could punch right down on his face. You could elbow right down on his face. It makes him panic. When a guy mounts you and he can punch and elbow you, you're fucking panicking. So you're making all these stupid moves. Yes, it's less stable, but you master it like riding a horse. Like, you get really good at getting as stable as possible and transitioning into arm bars or arm triangles or mounted triangles. or into spider web. Once you or just getting the back because you're blasting him so much, he just does what nature's telling him to do with his DNA. Like, turn your back, protect your face, and then boom, you're on his back. The better you are at the guard, the more you're going to develop your mount because you're not worried about getting rolled. So you'll see in jiu-jitsu, the guys with the best mounts usually have wicked guards because they mount more because they're not afraid of getting rolled. Guys with shitty guards have a hard time developing their mount because of fear of getting rolled. They'd rather stay in side control. They don't mount as much. Does that make sense to you, Joey?
Yeah, I understand. I don't try to mount unless, where am I going? I got two things. I got a gi choke and I got a fucking Americana. That's all. And I'm not good at either of them.
You know, this is some advice, Joey, just from me to you. Even if you're not good at finishing guys in the mount, it's a good practice and good training. You have to learn how to train as you roll. So you're not just rolling to get the tap. It's not about, I just got to tap this motherfucker as fast as I can. It's not about that. That's good too, but you got to combine training and developing new techniques in your rolling too. Like, let's say, I'm telling you that it's very, very important to develop a mount and a dangerous mount. So if you believe me, then you'll believe me. Then you mount, even if you don't have a submission, just mount them and control them. Because the better you are at controlling in the mount, the easier the submissions come. So, and you know, another way of saying is you can't get any submissions from the mount if you can't control them. So why don't we work on the control first? So you pass, you sweep the guy, you pass his guard, you're in side control, get to the mount, and just control his ass. Try to work the submissions, try to work them, but if you don't get them, so what? You had some ride time there. You accumulated ride time, which will come back. Money. It's like it's gonna pay you back because when you finally start getting offensive in the mount, all those rolls that you had like that, where you mounted the guy for the last minute of the roll or the last 2 minutes, you didn't tap him, but you mounted him and you got ride time, and that all accumulates, and it goes towards it's like a retirement plan. It goes to your mount development. You know, if you got someone's back and you can't finish him, and you were on his back for like a minute or two, you got ride time there. Even though you didn't finish him, you actually did get better at the rear naked choke, even though you didn't even finish him, but you got better at it. When you mount and you don't get a finish, you actually got better at the mount and that finish that didn't even come up. It didn't even come up, but the reason you got better at it is because you got some ride time and control. You got to spend time where you're getting in the mount, getting on the back, getting in every position. Every position is ride time. Every position. Like you're playing rubber guard. This is something I always say. Guys will go, yeah, I get them in mission control, and I get them in, you know, have them in chill dog or New York or whatever, and all these different rubber guard positions. But I can't finish them. I get stuck there. And I tell them, as long as you're getting there, keep getting there. Accumulate that ride time. That's going to make the next steps easier. The fact that you got there and you controlled them. I mean, in fact, we do live drills where we'll start guys in mission control. And all the dude on the bottom in the guard, he doesn't have to do nothing. He just has to control his opponent for 1 minute. We have the timer going. And the guy on top in the guard, he has to try to bust out. So the guy on the bottom, we're not even trying to go down the path. We're not even trying to set up submissions. We're just trying to control and accumulate ride time. It's very important that you mesh that into your rolling as well. Like, there's some positions that I'll get, like, there's a move called the Can Crusher from side control, and to set it up, it's hard to explain over the phone, but you really control, it's a really good side control position where you're clinching and you're trapping your opponent's inside arm, smashing, you're setting up a dart, but the setup is called the Can Crusher. I'll stay there for like 2 minutes just to work on the control. Even if I don't get the submission, I'll stay there because I know the next time I come back, my control is going to be better and it's going to be easier to submit. And even if I don't submit in the next time, if I accumulate some ride time, the next time will be easier and you just keep going. It's not about always just getting the tap when you roll. It's about working on your clinches, working on your control, dominating guys in certain positions so that when you come back, you're so dominating in this position, then you could start looking at the submissions. Because if you start looking at the submissions before you really even have total domination of them, before you can totally immobilize them, it's not going to work anyways. So before you can finish someone, you have to establish dominance in the position. Does that make sense?
It makes it. You know, right now, I can't lie to you. Sometimes I pass the guard, I get him in side control, I start to go for an arm, and by that time, I'm fucking tired. I ain't going to lie to you, dog. You're my brother. I'm working on the cardio. I'm working on it, all right?
I'm working on it. Of course you're tired. You're battling a grown-ass man, 100%. You guys are wrestling each other. He doesn't want his guard passed. Shit. People, that's a big part of rolling in class. When we do an hour of technique and then an hour of rolling, or sometimes less than an hour because I overdo the drilling lately, so we're cutting into our sparring time, but... I'm just drilling the shit out of my guys. But, yeah, I mean, when we have a full session of sparring, we're trying to get in 6 8-minute rounds. And if you can do 6 8-minute rounds,
wow,
you're in fucking pretty good shape.
Yeah, you're in great shape. Good shape.
So some guys will do 2 rounds, and then they'll take that third round off, come back for the fourth, take the fifth round off, come back for the sixth. You know, but that's okay. That ain't no big deal. That's totally fine.
Because in a month, they'll come back for the first three, and then another month, I understand that concept also.
Yeah, it's no big deal.
You're right.
No one's bagging on you. You know, you're just at a point where you hadn't, guys will come in, and they had to miss a month of training, so that's going to fuck up their cardio 100%, you know? So, everyone, no one goes like, oh, you big pussy. You can't fucking do all the rounds. Everyone knows, fuck, my cardio sucks right now. I got to start training more. It's not like people don't look down upon you. Everyone's at a different level. Some guys are on fire. They're training for a fight. They can do 6 8-minute rounds easy, you know? And it's cool. It's a goal. It's like, you know, when you get there, you're like, fuck, I did it, dude. I fine fucking did my first 6 8-minute roll. And then now you want to keep it. Now you're like, fuck, I want to keep it. I don't want to go back down. And then you keep it for like a month. And then a couple weeks, you start getting lazy and taking a round or two off here and there. And then you start feeling it. You know, so everyone's at a different level. You know what I'm saying?
You're a fucking savage. I'm happy you called today, but you're a bad motherfucker, Doug. I wanted to get this out of the way.
I'm happy to be on the show. I appreciate it, man.
You know I love you, Doug. What the fuck?
I love you too, man.
I'm going to stop by Van Nuys tonight, representing Eddie Bravo, and let him know and shit. I'm like, you're fucking whatever tonight. You couldn't make it, things happen, but I'm here dropping off an envelope. It's going to be all right.
All right, man. Thank you, Joey. Also, I just want to plug my podcast real quick.
Do your thing, brother.
Eddie Bravo Radio is my podcast. We've been doing it for a year. We got like 30-some episodes. They're long-ass episodes, so if you're a guy out there that likes to listen to podcasts to kill time at work, or kill time in the drive to and from work, man, my podcast is long. We talk a lot of bullshit. It's boring and shit, but it might be better than dealing with your job. So you can get that on iTunes and Stitcher. Also, 10planetjj.com. If you want to learn the 10 Planet system, just click techniques. It's all right there, man. Thank you, Joey, for having me.
Love you, brother. I'll call you later. You're going down to Orange County. I'll see you when you get back.
Okay, man. See you.
All right, beautiful. Bye. Nice. See? A little jiu-jitsu talk for you on a Friday. We'll just switch it up a little bit. Can't be about that. What the fuck are you giggling about? How high are you over there? He was making this design of pussy with his hand. I was catching him. And he was intrigued. Look at him. He's giggling. Look at this fucking guy. I got to deal with. You see what I'm saying?
I haven't heard Eddie Bravo talk when I was sober for months. Ever since he came up to San Jose and then he was at the Ice House. Every time I'm anywhere near like his voice, you get me so fucking stoned.
That's the plan, dog. I can't believe walking around.
I think he enhances it.
I can't believe that you sit here at night on that fucking couch and you don't smoke dope. I leave you 15 roaches. All you need is to go like this. Come here, take a hit.
I can't get up right
now. You can get up. We got more Chiba Chew for you.
Oh, leave me alone.
Ooh, look at this. We got a nice hybrid for you. This will kick you. This will put a little pep in your step. What do you think? I'm calling the fucking guy from Alpha Brain. We're going to start putting you on Alpha Brain.
I can use it.
I know you can use it. Look at you. You're all fucked up.
Let's
You're
going to
go and get some sun with me after the show today. That's it. We're going to sit downstairs for 5 minutes, put you in the sun. Jesus Christ, I'm bagging my eyeball with this fucking thing. Don't forget, there's a time of the year where you look for next year and you say, what can I do better? Like next year, to be honest with you people, I'm thinking of going to a jiu-jitsu tournament. just to get my ass kicked. But at least I go with these guys and do the camaraderie and stuff. I haven't had that in years. That's one of my goals, you know. So I don't know what you're going through. Make a goal for next year. Do something. You can start it by going to fucking On It. All right? Because you go to fucking On It and you see what they got. They've got something for you, whether it's kettlebells, whether it's the ropes, whether it's instructional video, whether it's Alpha Brain or the Hemp Force or the 180 turnaround or the Hemp Force protein bars. They have so many good ways for you to get you started with your goals. You know, even if you start with Alpha Brain every other day, you know, you can't afford it, whatever the fuck. It's like Joe says, steal the nutrients, make it at home by yourself. Cut them a fucking tumbo tree down or whatever the fuck it is. I don't know. Chew on a leaf. I don't know what you need to do. But start your year off with Alpha Brain. Start your year off with Shroom Tech. You know, I do this stuff and it keeps me sharp. I'm always ready to go at 6 a.m. You motherfuckers see me. We just been doing it late because I had a prior fucking radio stuff all across the country today called Iowa, D.C., North Carolina, Madison, Wisconsin, two or three sports stations, everywhere, promoting this movie.
How was it?
It was what it was. You know, you really can't go off, you know. You know me, I try to go off a little bit, and then I try to contain myself.
That's pretty crazy, man. That must be exciting for you, because I can't. Did you do that first stuff for The Longest Yard? This is like
Longest Yard was worse because I was the only Spanish guy, so they made me do everything in Spanish from San Antonio to Mexico to fucking Spain. There was like 3 or 4 days of this. This was just one morning for 2 hours.
Oh no, I'm just saying, like, it's cool that you would think it'd be De Niro and Kevin Hart, like
they're
the
doing it
name.
Too. They're doing it too.
But
they're calling in too.
If they didn't care about you being in it, they wouldn't have you do press for it.
No, everything helps.
Yeah.
Listen, every little bit helps. Maybe you're not going to go see it because of Kevin Hart. Maybe you're not going to go see it because of Alan Arkin. You know, so who knows? Listen, guys, you know the fucking deal. I could lie to you and tell you the reason why I'm very happy about that. Who the fuck thought I was going to ever do a movie opposite fucking De Niro? I didn't. You motherfuckers didn't even think about it. Me neither. I never even thought about it. Never mind Stallone, De Niro, Alan Arkin. Whether I saw them, whether I didn't see them, where I got scenes with them or not, I'm in the fucking movie. And I'm very proud of that. And it makes us feel a little closer. And it should make you people say, Jesus fucking Christ, if this fat fuck felon did it, I could do whatever the fuck I want. I got a family. I got 2 legs. I got credit. So get the fuck out there, cocksuckers. It all starts with On It. Go to joeydiaz.net. And what do they do with On It? They press what?
Church.
Church. C-H-U-R-C-H. Number 2, a good fucking present. It's cheap. Why not get away with murder? Send somebody fucking Dollar Shave Club for Christmas. $6 a month, $72. Sign them up for a year. Move on with your fucking life, okay? You don't got to drink coffee with them. We'll be buddy-buddy. Just send them the fucking present. Go to Dollar Shave Club. They got 3 different fucking packages, and all 3 of them will rock your world. Or they work as a Christmas present. The dollar ones, the $6 package, and the $9 package, correct?
Goddamn right.
Who the fuck you think you're dealing with? They come deliver to you. They send you an email when they send it out to you. So you could tell the fucking pubic hair, don't worry, cocksucker, the razors are coming, all right? I'm shaving you off this weekend, and the wife's fucking asshole. It's on. It's Christmas fucking week. Nobody wants to lick ass under the fucking mistletoe with hair around it. It looks like a fucking, you know, whatever the fuck. I don't know what that. It looks like a barnacle or some shit, all right? So take that to the fucking bank. Let me give some shout-outs here to some very special people. Teddy Slater, Jacob Schaub, Robert Woolbridge, Casey Sinks, MJ Rivera, you cocksucker, Bazooka Joe, Stu Cantu, and Henry Watkins. Merry Christmas to you motherfuckers, and Merry Christmas to the whole Death Squad Nation. This is how we motherfucking do it, you understand me? Smoking dope, getting some sun, drinking water, whatever, fucking on a Friday afternoon before the holidays. You want to be working in an office, it's up to you. But more power to you. You know I love you cocksuckers. You're out there doing your thing. I want to talk about something very important that a couple people asked me about. And let's just get this shit out of the way, right? Listen. These dudes from Doug Dynasty. Okay?
Yeah.
You know, really? Really? We're angry? Well, let me explain something to you people. First off, they're never going to get rid of the guy because the show makes too much fucking geese.
Number one cable show ever.
Yeah, they're gonna insult the fags for a couple of weeks and people are going to be upset about it and they're going to be back to normal because nobody gives a fuck, okay? You know, it's funny that we're getting mad at people for telling the truth. Can you believe that in this country, we're getting mad at people for telling the truth of how they feel? Either you move one way or the other, but everybody's got to, everybody's so politically fucking sensitive now.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody, you know, I hear fat jokes. I hear a bunch of spick jokes. Who gives a fuck? You still got to pay for groceries when you go to the supermarket, right or wrong?
Yeah.
Why are you worrying about this shit? The NFS, they got a league now for the transgender society now. They're all, hey, really? You know, it's like, you know what, people, I'm sick and tired of recovering drug addicts that'll make you feel bad at the party. Like, I'm recovering for 13 years. Listen, fuck you, bitch. You're not special. You're not fucking special. You should have been doing fucking drugs in the beginning, all right?
Yeah.
So don't sit around with, like, a fucking chip on your chest because you don't smoke pot or you don't do whatever the fuck you don't do. I don't do coke for 6 years. I don't do it because I go to fucking NA or belong to any organization or went to a rehab. I stopped on my fucking own, but that don't mean I'm going to throw it up at people at fucking parties. Well, I don't do this. There's people, every time I go somewhere, there's always that one jerk off there. I'm clean and sober. Oh, my God. Fuck you, bitch, especially in L.A. The same thing goes with, you know, these guys, we're getting in trouble for saying the truth of how he feels. Well, guess what? That's how everybody in the fucking South feels.
Well, it's not even how he feels. It's like
it's his opinion. His fucking religion.
It was born into him because he grew up in the South.
In the South.
He's 67 years old.
What the fuck do you think? What do you think? Everybody in the South is jumping up and down against gay people and black people? No, they hate everybody, but they can't go on TV. Nobody gives them a fucking voice or puts them on camera. Finally, you got a voice for somebody and the people get fucking mad. You know, listen, man, I'm sick and tired of everybody getting sensitive and complaining. At the bottom line, A&E ain't going to get rid of the fucking show. And they ain't going to get rid of him. And Diffie, they'll tell him, listen, go hunting for 3 fucking episodes. Who gives a fuck?
Like, didn't you have somebody with you today doing radio, like, helping you? Like, for a show that big, they don't have a guy approving all interviews. Like, who would approve a GQ article for him?
Listen, man, he's a... Whatever, GQ's interested about these people.
I know, but wouldn't A&E think, like, no, fuck, you might say something?
No, I mean, they're Christians. They don't even allow people to wear, you know, shirts. They don't curse. They don't do drugs. They don't drink. These people have strong beliefs in this country, and that's the way it's going to be. Listen, what's the scariest gang in the country? It ain't the Mafia, and it ain't the fucking KKK. You know who it is?
Who?
Old White Money. Yeah. Old White Money is fucking scary. Those guys got boxes full of fucking money, okay? Boxes full of money. He didn't say nothing to insult nobody. He said it in a way to let people know what his opinion was because of his religion.
He said it as a joke. I was reading it yesterday. He said, like, to me, guys, you know, I think a woman's vagina is better than a man's anus. Like, that's, like...
And it is.
But
I scratch my asshole and sniff it sometimes. I wouldn't want to fuck that. I scratch my ass and sniff it. You think I want to fuck that? When I looked at my asshole about 2 years ago and saw what it looked like, I don't know anybody who would want to fuck that. Even if I got raped by a bunch of fags and they ripped my fucking pants down, they'd squeeze my ass and go, I ain't fucking that. That's disgusting. You know, it looks like, it's like eating a pussy that got hit with a fucking lawnmower. That's what my asshole looks like. Like, it got hit with a fucking, anyway. You get me all excited, and I'm all hot and bothered.
I just don't understand why people are. I understand.
Because people are always going to get offended by something, Lee. There's always something to offend somebody, except normal people who don't give a fuck, who go around their life. You know, when you insult Mexicans, you think these Mexicans are going to stop mowing a lawn to go fucking say something or get a leak? They don't give a fuck because life goes forward, and people are going to have their opinions in life, and you're not going to agree with all of them. That's what makes this life so fucking interesting, that we're all not the same. But all of a sudden, this country has gotten this fucking thing that you have to get sensitive about everything. And now it's bleeding into our children because now we're making films about getting bullied.
Yeah.
You understand me? When your son gets bullied, you can't make a film about it. You have to, the same thing we're talking about with jiu-jitsu. You have to have your son address the situation or he's never going to grow as a human being. You can't hide if a kid curses. You can't go home and tell your mother because eventually you're going to have to rock the fucking house. You're going to have to rock the house, and then they'll transfer you. But at least you made your fucking point. When they transfer you in, they're going to say, you see that kid? They got transferred in because he hit the other kid with a chair over the fucking head. They were fucking with him. He fought 3 kids. Kid ain't wrong.
Yeah.
He's protecting himself. 3 kids are bullying. They're trying to take his fucking lunch money. People, I'm not talking out of fucking line here. So what the fuck? Wash your dick. Shave that monkey. It's Friday, motherfuckers. Go buy a grandma blow. Do what you do. 2 weeks, you start all over again. I ain't going to do blow no more. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to eat fucking food without gluten. I'm going to, you know, fuck you. You know, just listen. Just do whatever fucking makes you happy. That's it. And put it in moderation and put it into a little package and stick to the fucking philosophy. That's it. For the last 3 months, I've been eating one egg with one piece of toast and two pieces of bacon, a little bowl of oatmeal. I used to eat two eggs with two pieces of toast. Or I eat fruit. You know? You think I like that shit?
Fuck
you
no.
Think I like turkey bacon eating that shit? But even Oscar Mayer, the lean cut, is only like 2 points a slice. So if you eat 2 points, nobody wants to eat an egg with bacon dry like a soldier. You want to put a little breakfast meat in there. You know what I'm saying? I just had salmon for lunch. I've been drinking my protein shakes with the glutacore. You know, I get that fucking, I get my hemp force chocolate or my vanilla acai, and I put the glutacore in it, and I'm ready to go. My dick is hard, even though I'm not getting testosterone shots. I had to bang one out this morning. I was sweating. Fuck it. It's Friday. It's Friday. Lee, you want to eat another gloomy bear?
No. Do you do it in the shower?
What show?
No. Like, where did you bang? Like, in the shower? Like, I can't imagine.
No, in bed. I threw the cat off the bed so I didn't feel guilty, and I banged one out. You can't whack well for the cat on the bed. That's animal cruelty. You know what I'm saying? You can't be doing that shit, Lee. Lee, what's I say to you? The other thing I'm telling you people also that you give as a Christmas present, or just get it for yourself, this is their extended. Dollar Shave Club after next fucking Monday, Ugats. And we can't do podcasts anyway because iTunes doesn't submit podcasts from December 21st to December 27th.
It doesn't matter. If you're...
Wiggly. Well, get up, Lee. Wiggly. Come on, get up.
I'm way too high.
You haven't wiggled in months. Go, wiggle. Go, Lee. His name is Lee. He lives in. Go, Lee. Wiggle for Uncle Joey. Hit it! What's the story? You're not going to wiggle for Uncle Joey?
Oh, fuck. Well, what's just happening?
You know what just fucking happened? It's Friday, cocksucker. This is the church of what's happening now. What I was talking about was Hulu Plus. The party's almost over, cocksucker. I don't want to keep telling you this shit. It's a short, limited engagement. It's 2 weeks on the arm. Nothing. Ugats. Free. Bang. That is $7.99 a fucking month after that, which is $96 fucking dollars. Where are you going to get entertainment for that? Shows like Saturday Night Live. Shows like...
Like The Daily Show.
The fucking... They got everything. Just go to Hulu Plus. Cut this shit. 2 weeks free and then $7.99 a month. Who the fuck you think you're dealing with? Some novice? They're giving you 2 weeks so you can sample the fucking goods. When was the last time some chick said to you, listen, look at this fucking pussy right here. I'm going to give it to you for free. For 2 weeks, then you gotta move in and pay rent. Nobody does that shit. The church of what's happening now and Hulu Plus cut a deal to bring it to you for 2 fucking weeks. And you're over there giggling. Go to joeydiaz.net and press in
Joey
in the box. J-O-E-Y. Again, that's
Joey.
Who the fuck do you think you're dealing with on a Friday, December 20th? 4 shoplifting days. Fat man alert. Stay away from the fucking cookies. Don't believe the hype, all right? There's the fat man alert. You start eating on the fucking 22nd, you'll never come back. By the fucking 5th, you're up 19 pounds. You got a juice with Lee. He's eating. Yeah, it's great. I love drinking these milkshakes. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Look at this. You want to smoke some more?
No, thank you.
Why not? It's Friday. Thank God it's Friday. Friday. Put on Saturday Night Fever.
This is very musicals.
I want you to wiggle funk with Joey today. Ready?
You're good at that.
You didn't know I fucking had musical talent. So I just don't crack jokey poos.
You don't.
Hit me with some Saturday Night Fever.
Come on, give me a second. Holy shit. I didn't eat today before the podcast.
You fucked up. You slipped. See? And I'm about to give you another Chibo Chew. Just a little taste of the chocolate one. Where's the music, Lee?
That's coming on.
Where's the music? Let's just take the way here.
Asshole.
I'll never hire you for a DJ. Oh, shit. Yo, go give me a little wiggle, Lee. It's the holidays. People want to see Lee wiggle. No, not in your chair. You got to get up. Take the earphones.
I can't get up.
Come on, Lee. Just a little wiggle. Just a little
John something. John Travolta's staring into my eyes.
Come on, then get up. He's hypnotizing you. Next thing you know, you'll be sucking his dick. Get up. Dance with Uncle Joey. Let me see you wiggle a little bit. Go, Lee. Come on. Let me see you wiggle. You gotta get up and do a little dance. Come on, go. Oh, shit. Look at this new head, dude. Stop it. Oh shit, look at Lee. Go Lee, go Lee. Oh shit. This is what I'm talking about, people. Check this shit out, ready? Who's gonna fart in Lee's face? You let me know. Go to Twitter right now. I love you fucking crazy people. I love that you listen to this shit. I love you tolerate our fucking craziness today. This is what it's all about. Some podcasts are fucking serious. Some podcasts you learn about yourself. Some podcasts you learn about how to fucking light a house on fire. And others are just very mellow. Because it's Friday. What the fuck you want from me? Listen. I'll tell you what. Look at the shape of Lee. Where's the movie theater? Tell him. Next Wednesday.
NoHo Lemley. Is that how you pronounce it? Lemley?
NoHo Lemley, yep. On Lancashire Boulevard.
If you just Google North Hollywood Lemley, it's the only one there. It's a 720 grudge match. You can buy tickets online and buy them. Because we're not renting out the theater. We're just going.
We're just going like Puerto Ricans. We're just going
to We would love to have it just be people who listen to the podcast. That'd be awesome.
Just
us.
Just smoking dope outside. We're all going to meet early. Eat some edibles. You open up your presents with your family. You watch the fucking Laker game. You shoot up the fucking Lancashire and we all meet outside 7:20. That means 10 minutes. We can meet outside at 7 and start fucking smoking up. Getting fucked up. Lee's going to eat an edible. Lee's going to eat a couple edibles that night. He's driving his bicycle down there. He's living on the fucking dark side, this cocksucker.
Oh, my God.
So remember, 7:40 Lemley. 7:20, 7:40. Who the fuck knows? Number two, don't remember New Year's. We're releasing the CD. You can't eat pussy with fucking asthma. But we're having the CD release, New Year's party, 8 o'clock. John Lovitz Comedy Club, Universal City Walk. It's going to cost you fucking 10 to fucking park and 15 for the 30 for the ticket. But you're out of there by fucking 10:15, 10:30. They're going to give you wiglets. You jump up and down. If you want to stay, you can dance too and do the fucking boogaloo. I don't give a fuck. But at least you're up there. They got a hotel. If you want to snort coke off your wife's fucking clit, you can
I wonder if John Lovitz would ever hear this and be like,
what do you think? What do you think John Lovitz good? Yeah. I'm telling people the truth. This is what the problem is. They can't handle the truth. What do you think people want to do on New Year's, Lee? You think they want to rent a room to watch fucking Dallas Country, whatever the name of that movie, Dallas Country Club? No. They want to rent a room so they could stick it up their wife's fucking culo and call it a year without no babysitters around.
Did you ever sniff it off the clit?
Fuck yeah, I snorted coke off a chick's
pussy. It doesn't dissolve right away?
No, it just gives them a little tent. It numbs it. Then you got to hit it with a fucking hammer. Then you got to fuck them for 3 years. And that's why I fucking fail, because I come in a minute. So they got to fuck themselves, because my dick goes dead. It goes into the fucking turtle shell. And after that, I'm just sitting there scratching my balls, making believe I don't know what happened. I don't fuck for 3 hours. What do you think I am? A sexual deviant? I'm not good at that shit. I'm just a freak that likes to eat some ass and pussy, and I tap out. That's it. All right, Lee. We got to get the fuck out of here, because it's too high. You're not contributing. Yeah, you're killing me. I give you a half a piece of cheekbone. I ate two whole ones and a half with you. You see me, I'm like a soldier. I'm ready to rock. I'm ready to fucking do 20 fucking push-ups, laps, whatever you want to do. You going to go to sleep on me now?
Yes.
No, you can't go to sleep. This is what the problem is.
I made pasta last night. I'm going to heat some of that up.
Oh, Jesus Christ. With that cheap homemade, what brand sauce?
I just got store brand sauce, and I took some ground beef, and I cooked that up, and then I put the sauce into the beef.
All right. Did you put some garlic in that motherfucker?
No.
No garlic. You made spaghetti sauce with no garlic.
No, the sauce was already made.
Dope the shit up. Just because it's store made, you still got to cut some onions, a couple onions, some fucking garlic, 2-3 cloves of garlic. You got to put some green pepper, and then cook that together with some olive oil. Then you throw the sauce over that. Then you brown the fucking meat. You put that all together and you mix it up.
That's just making the whole sauce.
But at least you're controlling the fucking odds. You know what I'm saying? You're going into the casino and you're controlling the odds. They're not giving you that shit. What do you think is in that sauce? That's who got special sauce. You can make a better thing by yourself.
Yeah.
Take you an hour. Put some sauces, brown some meat. You're a Jew. You put that sauce in the refrigerator. You freeze a little bit of it. Then you take the other half. You throw it on the spaghetti. You mix it up. And every time you want some, you fucking nuke it. Every 4 days, you make a new batch. Some weeks, you make fucking little elbow macaroni with tuna and mayonnaise. Oh.
That's good?
Oh, yeah. A little pickle relish. Stop it. There's a little snack. Just a little snack in the afternoon. Just something to fill you up. You know, you get at 4 o'clock. You can't wait till 6 to eat. Who the fuck waits till 6 to eat? A little salad. Savages. Maybe a banana. Or maybe a little macaroni. You know what I'm saying? Just to get the fucking who got to me. Listen, as usual. If you can't listen on Monday because you're traveling, I love you guys. We're going to do this last podcast Monday, and then that's it till like the 4th or something. When do you come back, Lee?
I come back the 4th of the, whatever that Monday is, that first Monday, I'm back.
What time do you come back?
I come back on Sunday.
Oh, fuck with me, because the way I'm feeling today.
Well, you're not going to do shit. You're going to go home and take a nap, too. Well, I love it when you, like, say...
What's outside right now?
The sun.
Listen, as I left, Mercy was going to bed. When I get back, she's going to be awake, and she don't want no stories. So I'm going to take her to the park. I'm going to take her to get some fucking yogurt. I'm going to take her maybe to get some coffee outside, sit outside, walk her around. She'll take another nap by 5 or 6, and then I'm headed to fucking some parties and to the ice house.
Okay.
You coming with? Oh, you got the wife.
I got the
bad motherfucker. Besides that, I love you guys. Do me a favor. Stay safe. All right? Please. And we'll see you guys Monday fucking morning, 6 a.m., slinging dick and giving out bubblegum. Lee wants to do one Thursday morning.
Yeah, we could do that.
Day after Christmas. We'll talk about it, all right?
Yeah, we could do that. Please, if you have a second, listen to Flying Jew Radio. We had a really good one yesterday.
I hear you.
Agostino's sister called in, and then we had a bunch of good callers, and we're like... number 3, and we're really having fun doing it, so.
You're number 3?
No. We've done 3 of them.
Okay.
We were not bad. We were like 98 yesterday. Like, fuck
on
it.
On iTunes?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
bro.
Man.
You're a bad motherfucker, Lee. Who the fuck you think? People like you. I'm proud that you're doing this.
No, it's a lot of fun.
Don't even think about it. I'll fucking stab you in the eyeball. I love you guys. The Church of What's Happening Now, I want to thank On It. I want to thank Hulu Plus, and I want to thank Dollar Shave Club. Please support these people. They're good people. They take care of us, so please take care of them. I love you guys with all my heart. New Year's Eve, John Lovitz, January 9th, Buffalo, Helium. Canadians, I'm telling you right now, I don't want no fucking drama. I don't want to, when you come into Canada, I can't come to fucking Canada. So you cocksucker, just make a trip of it, all right? Don't worry about the weed. Buffalo's got tons of fucking reefer. We got DEA. We got everything up there. Just show up, all right? I love you guys. Have a great week. What music you got for me?
I got some... Parliament Funkadelic. But first, now that the show's over, don't forget to sign up for your free trial of Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus lets you binge on thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere on your TV, PC, smartphone, or tablet. Support this podcast and get an extended free trial of Hulu Plus when you go to HuluPlus.com.
The fuck are you laughing about, Lee? What's the problem, man? Well, what the fuck just happened now? Jesus Christ, I threw it away. I gotta get my shit together. You believe this, people? This is why I gotta deal with this fucking Stutz. He's giggling over there. Look at him. What's the matter, Lee? What are you giggling about? Tell your Uncle Joey. Look at him, look at him. You see this fucking people? Here's what happens. You people wanna know why. Look at him. His face is red. Look at him. Look at the shape of this fucking kid. Look at him. He can't take it no more. Look at the shape of his beauty. Listen, when I leave here, he's headed for the Mediterranean place. His ass is going to smell like Mediterranean for about a week. He's going to eat 15 gyros, some hummus. Look at him. Look at the shape of his
beauty.
Are you wearing what? Look at him. Look at him. Don't forget. Do the fucking ad. Will you please? You're killing me.
I was rubbing the wall for some reason.
The wall? What wall? What happened? What happened?
Nothing. Okay. Jesus.
Read the fucking ad. What are you killing me? What? Stop scratching your ear. Yeah. Look at the shape of this, people. You see this? This is your typical 25-year-old. I gotta fix America. Look at you giggling. You don't see no daylight. Look at the fucking shape of this fucking guy. He's eating tuna out of a can like a cat with no mayonnaise and soy cheese and shit. Look at him. Look at him. Look at him. Look at this beauty.
It's yours.
No, you gotta read the fucking ad. Cuts.
And don't forget to sign up for DollarShaveClub.com.
Oh, now you don't have to sign up after you fucking tormented
You'll get high quality razors sent to your door every month for fractional weight pay at retail. Go to DollarShaveClub.com/church or just go to JoeyDiaz.net and click on the Dollar Shave Club banner. Holy shit.
You're good.
dance our way out of our constriction. Gonna be freaking up and down the hang up alleyway with a groove I only got. We shall all be moved. Ready or not, here we come. Getting down on the one which we believe.
I'm gonna move.